You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGN. Of course, it was yesterday, just about this time, that we were dealing with digesting, perhaps, or just trying to take in the video of the shooting of Adam Toledo. To help us put a little in perspective of what comes next, we're joined by Sharon Farrelly. She is a former prosecutor, former chief administrator at IPRA, the Independent Police Review Authority, and COPA, the Civilian Office of Police Accountability. Sharon, welcome.
Thank you, Steve.
I just want to start again by saying what a tragic story this is. And, you know, people are so quick to take sides and point fingers on either side. And I think Mayor Lightfoot said this yesterday, that we just need to take a few moments to just consider the gravity of all this for so many people.
Absolutely. It's a tragedy from any way you look at it, from either vantage point, any vantage point. There's a loss of life here that's just a young life that was just taken way too soon. And, you know, we're all, you know, trying to get to the reasons why it happened, but it's going to take a while for us to figure that out. But it's just so sad. And, of course, the video itself is just so shocking and harsh and upsetting. And it just, I know when I saw it, it took me some time to bounce back, to be able to actually kind of, okay, let me approach this and talk about it from a professional standpoint. And because it's just, you know, as a mother, it's just really hard to see that.
I was struck by the clarity of the police video, and I would imagine, well, you tell me, the technology, is it the same as when you were in the job, or has it improved?
I think it's probably roughly about the same.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's you know, again, you know, this technology is evolving, and just over time, more, you know, video has just become more prevalent when it comes to the evidence that's collected and evaluating these incidences. If you look back 10 years ago, we didn't have so much use of, you know, we certainly didn't have the widespread use of body-worn camera. And we also didn't have such widespread use of you know, cell phone video in terms of witnesses recording events like we have from the George Floyd incident. So, you know, video is becoming a really important source of evidence to evaluate these incidents.
You said that this is going to be a tough case for investigators to work on. What did you mean by that?
You know, it's one of these situations where it's a complex situation. The incident unfolded, you know, so quickly. You know, video evidence is helpful, but it doesn't tell the whole story. And there's going to be a lot of information that's going to be gathered. And, you know, we have to understand that sometimes we may not get to the answer, right? We may not have enough evidence to actually say yes or no definitively, you know, the officer is completely exonerated or the officer did something wrong. That's one of the things that I learned from my experience working in this space.
Are foot pursuits harder to investigate for someone who was in the job that you were in, or are all the cases pretty much the same?
I particularly think foot pursuits are amongst the most difficult incidents to try to sort of figure out. And oftentimes it's because you don't have a lot of, you know, independent witnesses to describe what happened. It's often, well, like we have here, one officer that ends up in a chase with one other individual that's not there to tell the story. And so you're left to rely on physical evidence to try to piece together, to the extent possible, you know, what happened, and to be able to corroborate the officer's narrative of what happened. And you know, here we do have the video, which is helpful. And so I'm sure that there's going to be a lot of, you know, detailed analysis of that video to pull out as much information as can possibly be gleaned from the video to try to be able to understand what the officer knew and when. These are very, very difficult incidents to try to understand.
You know, for those of us who aren't involved in the investigation, obviously we think that the video is it. We look at the video and think then that investigators have what they need to make a decision one way or another. But where does the investigation go from here, and what else will they be looking at?
So they are still at what I would consider in the relatively early stages of an investigation. Right now they're trying to ensure that they have all the available video evidence from within the department, and then also from third-party sources, all the buildings around the area that will depict the events leading up to the actual discharge of the firearm. They are going to be looking for witnesses, canvassing the area to see if anybody happened to see something. They're going to be noting, you know, which officers were involved so that those interviews can be conducted. And then, of course, they're going to be, you know, once they were at the scene, I'm sure they collected physical evidence, and that some of that evidence may need to be sent out for processing. So there's a lot of work that goes into these investigations.
There's a lot of talk about changing the foot pursuit policy for Chicago police, and I know you've been an advocate of that. And I don't want to, I'm not doing hindsight here or armchair quarterbacking, but if with this particular chase, is this the sort of thing that maybe in the future officers should just let the person go? And this is, it's hard to say just let someone go like this, but is that what we're talking about?
Well, I think, you know, we start with the idea that force, you know, has to be reasonable. And that means it needs to, there's two aspects of that in my view. You know, it has to be necessary, meaning like you have no other choice, but you have to use force to solve the situation. And then it's got to be proportional. And so when we're talking about deadly force, we have to recognize that you're making the decision to possibly end someone's life. So when you're making that decision, it seems to me that there needs to be a specific and identifiable law enforcement reason why you're making that decision.
Decision to pursue.
The decision to use deadly force,
okay,
to conclude a pursuit is what I'm saying.
Okay.
Right. And so you know, there may be situations where, you know, do you know enough to know that that person is so dangerous and presents such a danger to you or someone else that you're willing to take his life in that moment? That's the question that has to be asked. And so I think, you know, that's the issue that I see.
I read somewhere that 30% of foot pursuits end with the use of force. Is that your understanding?
I haven't seen that particular data point, but that sounds plausible to me that's definitely a plausible number.
Steve Chapman writes in the Tribune earlier this week, and I'm just wondering what you think. He's a columnist, a libertarian for the most part, and he said that, you know, and this has more to do with George Floyd and Dante Wright in Minnesota, but he said maybe it's time to, and it's hard to understand this too, take traffic control away from police, because so many tragedies end from routine traffic stops. And he said, I think that only one in 550 stops actually nabs a criminal. Most of them are not such things, even though they could end in a devastating way. What do you make of that?
Yeah, well, I think that we are seeing a lot of people asking that question. And there are some communities that are actually saying that they're going to look for a different kind of public safety resource to consider to conduct traffic stops for exactly this reason. We see anecdotally, you know, how traffic stops can unfortunately erupt into these use of force incidents that become tragic. The one that comes to mind, you know, the most recent one is the Philando Castile shooting. And then we also have the Sandra Bland incident. That whole thing started in the traffic stop. So we have to recognize that, you know, these incidents are starting to show up as ending in a tragic way. And should we be handling them with a different resource? That's a question that I think is a legitimate question to ask. You know, we also know that from a law enforcement perspective, though, traffic stops can be quite dangerous for them. We know that there's a risk of violence against officers in those contexts. So, you know, we have to be careful about both things. And so it's a good question to ask, but there's not necessarily an easy answer.
Right. I guess there's not an alternative just yet. But yeah, it's an excellent point you make. It's not just where police often are involved in shootings. Police are shot at sometimes. These traffic stops can be dangerous for police as well.
Absolutely.
Sharon Fairley, the former leader of COPA and IPRA here in Chicago with a few minutes today. I certainly appreciate your insight. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Steve. Good to talk to you.
Take care now.
Nice to talk
to you. You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGN. We're going to head into the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.